Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
There's probably a parent or two, or, you know, 100,000 of them listening, saying, you're not my kids. I mean, my kids are struggling with issues.
I don't want your pity.
I mean, they're just trying to figure it out. I mean, they're still going through some pretty tough identity issues.
Dad, please, you're embarrassing us.
Kids today are growing up in a world of privilege. I mean, many of them have opportunities, they have advantages that no other generation has ever had, and yet some young people seem to be growing up with a rather lackadaisical attitude. I mean, they're unmotivated to do great things and to become all that God intended them to be. Well, my guests today on Homeward are out to change all of that. They're twin brothers, they're teenagers, Alex and Brett Harris, and they're encouraging teens and pre-teenagers to rebel against the culture that promotes laziness. Very interesting. Well, I hope you'll listen closely to our conversation today as I talk with Alex and Brett Harris about how their own parents actually motivated them to do the hard things in order to help them enjoy a more rewarding life. Well, inspiring your kids to overcome complacency, that's our topic today. It's an important one on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Hey, APU is on iTunes U. You can check out chapel services, special campus speakers, video blogs, and short films about the APU experience when you go to apu.edu/iTunes. And speaking of our relationship with Azusa Pacific University, one thing that you hear Dr. Jim Burns saying often on the program and here in the ministry is he wakes up every morning thinking about how can I make life better for kids. Well, today on the program, we're going to hear from a couple of kids who are making life better for parents and for other kids. Alex and Brett Harris are with us in studio, and they're going to talk about their mission, their revolution, if you will, to inspire your kids to overcome complacency. Now, with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A very special day on Homeward today. We have Alex and Brett Harris with us. We're talking about helping kids learn to do the hard things. You know, teenagers need to rebel against, well, low expectations and be all that God has created them to be. And I can't think of two better people to talk to us about that than two teenagers themselves, Alex and Brett Harris. Twin brothers who founded TheRevolution.com in 2005 and today at age 19 are among the most highly read teen writers on the web. Both serve as the main speakers for the Revolution Tour conferences and have been featured nationally with MSNBC, CNN, NPR, New York Times, and a host of other places. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you so much. We're glad to be here.
Well, you know, I read your book this weekend, Do Hard Things, A Teenage Rebellion Against Low Expectations. And frankly, I loved it because what you're telling teens is don't settle for mediocrity, but raise the bar. Do the tough stuff. How did you guys, you two, come up with this message?
Well, it really started when we were 16 years old. We're 19 now, 16 back in the summer of 2005. We had been involved in, you know, high school speech and debate. We'd been doing some things that we were comfortable with for several years then. And we kind of decided it was time to move on. Our parents kind of made that decision for us, and we agreed with them. But we were in limbo. We had some ideas of what we wanted to do. Doors were being shut in our faces, and we were just kind of sitting around. And so our dad came in with a big stack of books that summer and said, I'm going to put you guys on an intense reading regimen. And he had us go through books on, you know, everything from, you know, biographies and books on doctrine, books on sociology, even quantum physics, you know, a wide range of topics, really the best books that he was aware of in these fields. Our minds were really opened up by that.
Well, you know, in reading your book and even talking to you before the program, I'm kind of going, wait, you guys are 19 years old. Your dad's handing you amazing books, books that have either influenced me or books that I'd like to read someday. And you talk with a much more, you know, mature message. I mean, so give me a little bit of understanding about this family that you guys were raised in. I mean, how do we make 19-year-olds like you as opposed to another generation? Because you got a parallel generation, kids who are doing amazing things. You've also got some 19-year-olds who, you know, their biggest thing is playing Nintendo and wondering what's going to happen on American Idol.
Well, the dedication to our book is to our parents, Greg and Sono Harris, and it says, this book is the message of your lives. And that really is the case. They have raised us. Brett and I, you know, the things that we've done, fact that we've written a book and do conferences and all these things, we don't share any of that to boast or brag or take any credit for it. It really is something that we've been blessed to have parents who have really raised us with this mentality.
Yeah. They raised the bar for you in some
ways.
Yeah,
they might not have said do hard things. They didn't call it a revolution, but that was the mentality they raised us with and our siblings, to do hard things, to not settle for low expectations, and really to hold a higher standard, God's standard for the teen years.
And you see them at key junctures in our lives, like this summer back in 2005, where he came in with a stack of books. We're reading the books. We were reading books like The World is Flat by Thomas Friedman, and we're realizing, wow, there's young people in China, young people in India who are working hard. They're preparing. They're using their teen years as the launching pad of life. And, you know, American young people have a sense of entitlement. We're complacent. We're mediocre. We realize there's different results for different ways of spending the teen years. And that was the launch of the revolution. And that was our dad taking initiative to come in and, you know, at a turning point in our lives, providing some direction.
Yeah.
And that's what parents can do for their young people.
No, that's pretty neat. Now, when you think of the teen years, again, teen years for many people, it's very difficult. They look back and say, you know, I had a tough time in middle school. I had a tough time in high school. But part of it was because they didn't get this kind of message, where you read these books and then you all started a blog. Now, of course, a blog is an online journal where you just sort of started journaling. And, you know, now you've had millions of people come to your website. So how did you move from reading the books to starting this blog so that now students are involved going, wow, yeah, you got an amazing message?
Well, we did not have any plans to turn this into something, anything that it's become. We didn't think we were going to have pretty much anybody reading our website, though we hoped a few people would. It was just a place for us to kind of develop some of these ideas, put them into words. And so we started writing things like The World is Flat, saying, hey, guys, this is the world that we're growing up in. We need to understand the implications for us as young people. And another series of articles that we wrote on the myth of adolescence, critiquing this modern view of the teen years as a vacation from responsibility and saying, no, look at the Bible, look at history. This is the launching pad of life. We need to be using these years to prepare. And what happened really blew us away, because all of a sudden there were young people who were reading our blog. And they weren't just reading it, they were leaving comments. And they weren't just leaving comments, they were saying things like, this is exactly what I'm missing at school, at church, at my youth group. You're putting into words what God has, you know, put on my heart ever since I became a teenager. Don't stop.
Yeah. It's fascinating you would say that, because I really think that's in the heart of teens today. They want to make a difference. They want to not compromise. They want to go on. They want to be radically committed to their faith and radically committed to what's going on. They want to be involved in the political process, their faith issues. They want to stand for sexual purity, all these things. But in our mind, what we read in the newspaper or on other blogs or whatever is that teens don't care. What you're finding is a group of people who came to your website and said, hey, we identify with this message.
Well, there is a growing restlessness in our generation, and they are hungry to be challenged, and that's not something that we even expected when we started our blog, but we actually started saying it. We actually started putting words to it, saying we need to rebel against low expectations. We need to pursue God's standards and look at history and look at, you know, God's word to define what we're capable of. And we started sharing the stories of young people who were stepping outside their comfort zones, who were doing hard things, who were making an incredible impact. And as soon as we did that, you know, it was like it turned on a light bulb. And so many young people would say, I thought I was the only one who felt this way. I thought I was the only one in the whole world who thought there was more to life, more of the teen years. And they come to a website where there's dozens, hundreds, thousands of other young people, and that's all they need. They just need to know they're not alone.
No.
And that's what we've tried to accomplish through our website, through our blog and this and the book and the conference tour, is say there are millions of teens who are waking up. God's waking up the teen.
You know, I believe that, and we're going to talk later about purity and sexual purity, because I know that's a big thing for you guys as well. And I remember one time I was speaking on the steps of at Washington, D.C. at the Capitol, 35,000 students, 235,000 sexual purity pledge cards out there. Hardly made news, way in the back of, you know, the Washington Post someplace. Front page was seven kids who were protesting against something silly at the Supreme Court and something against, you know, kind of what we were standing for. But I was so impressed that young people would be willing to go against the grain of the culture and take a stand, in this case, for sexual purity. What you're asking kids to do, really, and then we'll take a break right after this, but what you're asking kids to do is to do the hard thing, because sometimes it's easier to settle for second best, and you're saying, no, raise the standard, go for it.
Yeah, well, it's always easier to just meet the low expectations. Young people, you know, because we're all people, it's not just young people, we're naturally sinful, we're naturally lazy, we like being able to get away with things we know we shouldn't because everyone expects us to be doing them anyway. And we like getting away with not doing what we know we should because we're not expected to. And so what we're challenging young people to do is to do things that are difficult, do what is right, even and maybe even especially when it's difficult, when it costs you something, when it hurts, because that's what God calls us to.
I love that message, and there's more to come. Alex and Brett Harris with us, helping kids learn to do the hard things. Hey, these guys are kids, but what incredible kids. We're going to take an exam when we come back on when did the word teenager start in the vocabulary. I think you're going to be surprised at, it hasn't really been that long since we started using the word teenager, Roger.
Well, sometimes it feels like we've been using it too long, but you're right, Jim, and that's one of the things that I know you're going to discuss in the next segment is the fact that we're going to knock down some cultural norms here that impact the way we parent and the way we look at young people because we think in terms of, well, it's always been like this. And today on the Homeward Broadcast, we're learning it hasn't always been like this. And Alex and Brett Harris are giving us some great insight as to what kids can do and their parents push on them a little bit to actually overcome complacency. More of this conversation in just a moment as Homeward with Jim Burns continues.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Boy, kids are exposed to so many different things these days. I mean, I don't even remember having to deal with this kind of pressure. There's a part of me that just wants to hide them away, you know, so they won't have to deal with it. It seems like I'm praying for my kids all the time. I just want them to be happy. I want them to be safe.
Well, prayer makes it possible for you to follow your kids wherever they go. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, and I know just how you feel. You want your kids to be safe, to make right and wise choices, to be happy with their lives. Where your kids view your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness, and prayer is what keeps that connection strong during those times when you can't physically be there with them. Well, set the tone in your home for acknowledging God through prayer on a regular basis. Prayer is the passport to protection for your kids. All it takes is a little bit of your time. It's an investment that will pay huge dividends now and forever.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Can you believe this conversation? Helping kids learn to do the hard things. It is such an important message. Actually, it's been a message I've been trying to get out, but I'm an old guy. Today we have Alex and Brett Harris with us, 19 years old. They are among the most widely read teen writers on the web. They founded the Revolution.com website, the Revolution Tour, and are really making a difference. It's just great. Again, as I've said, featured on CNN and NPR and the New York Daily Times, as well as many other things. Incredible young men. Okay, here's the test. I want you to listen as a listener, and then we're going to have these guys give us the answer. The first documented use of the word teenager. Well, it could be Tyndale's first edition of the English New Testament in 1526, Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet in 1623, Ben Franklin's Poor Richard's Almanac in 1739, Theodore Roosevelt's Strenuous Life speech in 1899, or the Reader's Digest issue in 1941. Or, hey, your guy's book, but I think it's been around since before you guys were born. What's the answer to that?
The answer is the answer number E in the book. It's Reader's Digest, 1941. And that's something that surprises a lot of people because right. We assume that this word teenager has been around forever because it's so commonplace today. But actually, it's only been around for about 70 years. And our generation is one of the first generations in the history of the world to grow up in a world where the word teenager, and particularly this idea of the teen years that we have today, even exists.
Well, you're so right, because there are cultures today. I'm going to be in Ecuador here pretty quick. And, you know, there are cultures where some cultures in parts of Ecuador, where people at 13 and 14 get married, they have responsibility, they're not in school, you know, whatever. And so they don't have any teenage years. And even years ago, that wasn't the case. So it's actually a pretty new phenomenon. But what I love that you're saying in terms of the message is, don't waste these teenage years. You're moving from childhood to independence. You'll be a young adult soon. Use it to really make a difference and shape your world and give them some purpose. And, you know, that fascinates me. Now, you guys talk about purpose and also talk about speaking of hard things. You were the youngest Supreme Court interns in the state of Alabama. What made you consider such an opportunity And did you ever have your doubts about that? I mean, that's an incredible story right there.
Well, that happened when we were 16, right after we started the blog. You know, we were writing about these ideas, rebelling against low expectations, saying teens are far more capable than we expect them to be. And we got an email from a staff attorney at the Alabama Supreme Court. Now, we live in Oregon, so you know, someone from Alabama is emailing us and saying, hey, we've started an internship program. We'd like you to apply. We're sitting there saying, oh my goodness, do they know how old we are? This is a legal internship, you know, reserved for law school students, exceptional undergraduate students. We're 16, haven't graduated from high school. So we write back, you know how old we are? They write back and say, yes, we know how old you are. We've been reading your blog, and we want like to take you up on your premise. And so we applied,
We weren't.
They definitely had doubts. We weren't sure if we were more terrified of being accepted or rejected, but we were accepted for a 2-month internship. Went down to Alabama, served the time, and just had incredible fruit. Alex, do you want to even share a little bit about the fruit of that?
Yeah. Well, what happened when we got down there? We were interning with Justice Tom Parker, just an incredible statesman and just incredible jurist. He had high expectations for us. He let us come and do the internship, first of all. But the reason he did was because he wasn't making age a determining factor. He wasn't making that an artificial barrier or limitation. At the same time, he wasn't letting us do anything to, a lower quality. There's no excuses for being young. But there was also no, limitations on what we could do if we proved ourselves to be competent and effective. And so we were able to, by the end of the internship, do things far beyond what we expected, far beyond what he expected us to be doing, simply because we were able to do hard things, prove ourselves capable, and move forward.
Yeah, it was kind of neat. I mean, at first you're getting him some coffee and making some copies, but by the end of the 2-month period, you guys are helping him write stuff.
It was incredible. We were doing more than normal interns do, more than the law school students who get these internships would normally do, and we were writing legal memorandums, which we didn't know what those were before we went either. But basically recommendations to the other justices on the court. Alex actually contributed final text to one of the opinions that Justice Parker released. And so just incredible opportunities to contribute. And so we were kind of saying at the end, the guinea pigs have survived because God was making us guinea pigs really for our own ideas. And, well, and it worked.
Well, it's a great way. You're exactly right. And it's a great way for young people to say, wait, I can do more. There's probably a parent or two or, 100,000 of them listening saying, you're not my kids. I mean, my kids are struggling with issues. They would not even want to be an intern with the Supreme Court of Alabama or any other place. I mean, they're just trying to figure it out. I mean, they're still going through some pretty tough identity issues. What would you say to the parent, not necessarily to the student, I realize you speak to students, but what would you say to the parent of somebody who maybe doesn't have a kid like you guys, and yet they want their child to learn to do the hard things?
Well, first of all, we just would want to tell them we are not some extraordinary, exceptional prodigy type guys. We're two normal guys who at 16 started a blog, and we have our issues. Our rooms are messy. Our mom and our dad have to get on us about doing that and spending time with the family and making sure that we're meeting those obligations. We're flawed human beings, but we have lived a different way. We've had a different mindset, and that's why we've been able to do, we believe, the things that God has allowed us to do. And the truth is that everyone is capable of doing that. This is not something reserved for guys who start blogs about rebelling against low expectations. Our book is full of stories of young people who never started a blog, never did any of this stuff, but had situations where they stepped outside their comfort zone and suddenly found themselves far more capable than they think. And for parents who are wondering, how do I get my young people to do hard things? I would encourage them to just let their kids check out the website, especially check out the book, because the book is full of stories. We found that we've never had to argue with a young person. We've just had to show them. And as soon as we show them, the light goes on. It resonates in their hearts because God's already has that there. Deep in their hearts, they know there's more to the teen years than what society is telling them. And when they can see examples of it, it really does resonate. And so that would be our primary recommendation.
I want to read just the word that we have on the back of the book, because it's addressed to the young people, but it also addresses the parents who feel like their young people, aren't going to care or even understand what we're talking about here. And we say, most people don't expect you to understand what we're going to tell you in this book. And even if you understand, they don't expect you to care. And even if you care, they don't expect you to do anything about it. And even if you do something about it, they don't expect it to last. We do.
Great. Well, we've got a lot more questions. I want to get into doing the hard things and what those five components are. You got to come back so we can keep doing that.
Okay.
Great.
Sounds
great. Thanks so much. And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Alex and Brett Harris here on the Homeward Broadcast, inspiring your kids to overcome complacency. And what an inspiring conversation this has been up to this point. Remember, you don't want to miss part two of this conversation. They're going to unpack those five principles that they outline in their book, Do Hard Things. And that's a book that Dr. Jim Burns recommends highly. If you go to our online resource center at Homeward today, you'll find in the broadcast archives the listing of all the different programs. The Harris's name is there. It's a blue and it's underlined, which means it's hot linked. Go ahead and click that button and you can learn more about their ministry. And Jim, when you hear about kids like the Harris's really doing some great things, you know that we've got a renewal on our hands here.
I have studied renewal and revival for years. And frankly, as many of you know, when I get up in the morning, I'm thinking about young people. And I figure as I've gotten older, the most effective way to help young people is to help their parents. But one of the things when I study renewal and revival, there are two components to it. One is that people pray. And you see that in every renewal, or every revival that's taken place across not only our land, but across the world. But secondly, it is started by young people who go against the grain of the culture. They stand up for what is right, and literally, they do the hard things. I was thinking of a story in Romania. I was speaking there in 1991, training a bunch of youth workers and getting to speak to students there in Romania. It was right after communism fell. And we were in a place called Timișoara, and my friend Ray, who is our voice in Romania even right now, but Ray and some youth workers and I were on a little bit of a holiday that night. I was going to speak to several thousand kids there in Romania on sexuality, actually, which was really unique back then. And there were all these people around this square, and we were in the square in this place called Timișoara, and I said, Ray, what's going on over there? And people were actually even on their knees putting flowers on this place. And he said, oh, let me tell you. And so he brought the youth workers and myself together, and he said, right on this place, it's almost holy ground, there were 15 young people who stood singing just a couple years ago, 1989, when he told the story, of course, singing songs and hymns and praise songs to Jesus in honor of God and defiance of Ceausescu, who was the evil ruler. 27 years before that, he had come into rule of Romania. And in the first week, he said, I will erase Christmas and I will erase Easter from the Romanian people. In other words, I was going to erase Christianity. And he said, but we had these 15 young people singing praise songs, again, against the law. There were about 150 adults. Well, the Romanian secret police came with their Russian-built AK-47s and pointed their guns at these students. Interestingly enough, the adults left, but the students remained firm. They begged them, but they didn't want to gun them down. These were their own children, and already there were so many problems with what was going on as the wall had fallen of communism, and Romania was in trouble as well, at least in the government's mind. Well, they went back to a hotel, these Romanian secret police. They then came face-to-face, at least by the phone, with Ceausescu, and he said, you gun them down if they are defiant. We can't afford to have a revolution take place right now, and we don't want those young people to be the leaders in it. And so they went back. They begged the leaders. There were about 150 adults now, again, singing praise songs, Christmas carols, guns pointed at them, and their candles were lit. The adults left, and you may know the story from history, but the Romanian secret police actually got upset and they gunned down one of the kids. It was actually the youngest kid, about 12 years old. And pretty much these 15 people became a bloodbath and they were martyred. And I'm not saying that that's what kids are all going to do today, but 250,000 Romanians 2 days later were there singing praise songs and Christmas carols and songs of praise to God in defiance of Ceausescu. And Ceausescu was dead. And what happened was young people were willing to take a stand, a radical stand for Jesus Christ. And young people today want to do that. I'm not saying that they want to go before guns, but they want to make a difference. As parents, I think we have to instill those kinds of values and treat them as if they do want to do the hard things. Not nag them, not whine at them, but give them opportunities to do great things for God. And I think your kids will not settle for complacency, but they will settle for wanting to do God's best in their life.
Absolutely, Jim. And settle has gotten such a bad rap in that just that word, oh, I don't want to settle, that makes it sound like you're not going for what you really want. But when you settle into what God's design is, then of course that's what kids want, and they gravitate toward that. And that's the kind of challenge that they want and need. It's up to us as parents to kind of lay some track in front of them as we are paving the way for them. They can follow on behind us and say, yeah, we're going to take that track and ride it as far as we're supposed to go with that. Our thanks again to Alex and Brett Harris. This conversation today, Inspiring Your Kids to Overcome Complacency, is also available on CD. If you'd like a copy, send us a gift of any amount when you write to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693. Now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.